Let's go to Luke chapter 22 and verse 17. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. Pass it around and each of you take a sip of this cup. Verse 20, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Then let's go to Mark chapter 16 and 1. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome, which is the wife of Zebedee, hath brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint the dead man. He's in a tomb. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, no doubt before they got there, wait a minute, who shall roll us away the stone? We forgot about the stone. Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. I want to talk this morning from this thought, the cup and the stone. The cup and the stone. Lord, we're so thankful today. Let it not be a one-day event where we make a commemoration of your resurrection, but Lord, all Christians every day realize the power of your resurrection and our hope is in you today, that as you came out of that grave, so also shall we participate in the resurrection. Thank the Lord. Keep that hope alive in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Perhaps the most two important parts here in my subject matter today is the lesson in the cup and the lesson in the stone. So I want to talk about the cup as being symbolic, and the stone was actually a real stone that was rolled away. Of course, it was a real cup, but I want to talk to you about what was in the cup. Our text begins at the ending of supper one night when everything had fixing to come to a close and everything was fixing to quickly come to an end. And now we see that Jesus has a room prepared for his 12 chosen apostles, the same 12 that he called when he started are still with him 3.5 years later. They were with him in the beginning, and now we've come to the end, and they're still at this moment intact. The 5,000 are not there. The 4,000 that he fed, they're not to be found. You could go on. All the multitudes that followed him are not present at this Last Supper. But who is there are the 12 pillars that he chose in the very beginning. And I'm afraid, my brothers and sisters, too many times, I don't want to be guilty, as many times pastors are, they're looking for the 5,000 instead of the 12. You'll never have the 5,000 if you don't have the 12. You have to have pillars in a church. Ever has heard he's a pillar in the church? We all need to be pillars in the church. Amen. And so Jesus shows them this cup and he asks them to pass the cup. It would be like me taking a cup and I show you this cup and each of you divide it out. Each of you get a sip of this cup. Each of you will partake of whatever is in this cup. Each one of you will drink the same thing. Just take a little and let's pass this around. And they all drank of the same cup. I don't know. I don't like to drink after anybody. Do you? I mean, I'm a little, maybe that's a 21st century thing where we've gotten so sterile with everything we do. But I don't imagine they had too much problem doing it. I would look to see where you drank and then I'd turn it around and, you know. But they each drank of this cup. They just kind of passed it down the line, and one took a sip, and the other took a sip, and it's interesting how they all took a sip of the same thing. However, it wasn't until after they had drank of the cup that Jesus says, that was my blood. Sometimes you don't know what you're drinking till after he tells you what you're drinking. They all drank. It's like, that's no problem. It was good wine. Where do you? He said, no, that was my blood. Had he told them that it was his blood they were going to drink, perhaps they said, no, master, no, not me, my own master. I don't drink blood. But because they would have been so carnal-minded, he didn't tell them until after they had drank. Even the one Judas Iscariot also drank of the cup. But we have learned that if you partake of the Lord's Supper unworthily, so Judas was a partaker of the unworthily. Jesus would pray now that in the garden he would go and pray. And the Bible says he prayed so diligently, so hard, in such agony that his perspiration was as if it were great drops of blood. You know, blood is thicker than water. And it was so profuse, so thick, so mounted up, if you will. It was like blood. It was just so thick, pouring off of him. That same night that he passed the cup around and they all drank of it, what about him? And so we find that he goes into the garden to drink his cup. Jesus would pray so earnestly and so vehemently, if you will, because what he was fixing to do was drink the cup while they each took a sip of the cup. He would now drink the cup, knowing that it was his suffering and his pain and his own blood. He would have to drink the cup. And the apostles only took a sip, so therefore they would share in his suffering. But he would suffer for us all. When we look at Luke 22 and 41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Now they all drank. And now he's saying, I don't think I want to drink it. Now don't look at Christ like he's human too. Sometimes we forget. Preachers are human too. Amen. Remove this cup from me. Remove it. Don't want to do it. They just took a sip. I got to drink this thing. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And when he said that, there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Matthew wrote it this way in 26 and 39, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible. I read a scripture that said, all things are possible to them that believe. Well, you know what? He didn't believe it was possible. He knew there was no other way. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Let somebody else do this, but not me. And so it appears that Jesus is wanting to pass the cup that he told them to drink from. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. It's worth noting here, my brothers and sisters, that we all are human. We all do not want to go through pain and suffering. If you like to suffer and you like pain, I'm sure they have a medical term for that. There's something wrong with you. He requested that it pass from him. And heaven's silence was his answer. I remember asking my dad questions before. Dad, can I, you know, and he'd just look at you. That look was the answer. That silence was the answer. And heaven was silent. Why? Because it was waiting for his will to be aligned with the Spirit's will. It was waiting for the flesh to conform to the Spirit. And as soon as Jesus said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done," he got in alignment with the purpose and the cause for which he came. And as soon as that happened, the Bible says an angel came from heaven and strengthened him. See, we're wanting the strength to say no. We're wanting the strength to say yes. We're wanting the strength to deny it. That's not how it works. You have to do that. You have to overcome the flesh. And when you overcome it and say, "No, I'm not going to do it," or "Yes, I'll drink this cup," then he was strengthened by heaven. Amen. It is God's desire to strengthen us, but it needs to be your desire through your own desire to overcome the desires of the flesh. Many times we know better. We know better. And we put ourselves in a place that we get so tempted we can't say no. Oh, Lord. Jesus drinks the cup of the New Testament, which is his own blood that was shed for us through his death. And now that he has, and I showed you the video, partaken of the suffering and of the pain, now Jesus is dead and their hopes died with him. All of them appeared to be gone, except for his mother. John was at the cross, and there's another lady I want to talk about that was there too. According to prophecy, the Bible says that Jesus would be buried in a rich man's tomb. Wow, the poor man buried in the rich man's tomb. I want to ask you a question this morning, a little trivia question. Who put the stone in front of the tomb? Who put the stone in front of the tomb? Anybody want to raise their hand and say, "I know"? He says the Roman soldiers. Anybody else? Brother Valentine. You. Some men from the temple sent by the high priest. All right, anybody else? I'm going to give you the answer. We'll read it. The rich man. The rich man put the stone in front of his own tomb. Let's read it. Matthew 27:55. And many women were there beholding afar off, backed off a little bit, and followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. Among which was, make mention here, this lady, Mary Magdalene, that was not her last name. That was the city. Magdala was a city from which she was from, like Jesus of Nazareth. Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joses, or John, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. This rich man was his disciple. And he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. I could have preached this morning the day the rich man begged. The rich man begged Pilate for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in his own tomb, which he had hewed out of in the rock. And he rolled a great stone. I have always thought the soldiers did that. I've always thought that. So you're not alone if that's what you were thinking. And I'll show you why we think that. Sometimes it's important to pay attention to details. Can you say amen? And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. So the rich man not only had a tomb that he had hewed out of a rock, the rich man, I don't know if he paid somebody to do it or he got a mallet and a chisel and he hewed him out of a rock, but he also hewed him out of a stone to roll in front so that when they put, y'all put me in here, put this in front of it to close me off. And so it was a tombstone, if you will, a headstone or whatever, gravestone, whatever you want to call it. And he rolled it in front of the sepulcher and he departed. And there was, still there, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. First, when we started reading, they were at a distance. Now they've moved up. Now they're up against the sepulcher. It's important for us to realize this morning that Mary Magdalene was there. And, of course, the other Mary. They witnessed Joseph taking the body and putting it inside of the tomb. They witnessed, they were there when the stone, Joseph somehow, maybe he had help, for the stone was very great. And they witnessed, these ladies saw that the stone was put in front of the door. Whew. And they all leave. This, my brothers and sisters, is day one of the process of the resurrection, when the stone was put in front of the door. And on day two, on the second day, you might recall, Brother Valentine, that the Lord Jesus told concerning, I believe it was Herod, he said, go tell that old fox. I like the Lord. He was real sharp with words. Go tell that old fox that today and tomorrow I do cures. And on the third day, I will be perfected, and I cast out devils. Woo, don't miss that part. He said, I tell him, I cast out devils. And on the first day and the second day, I do cures. Any of you women know what curing something is? Or you ever trapped a hide, a coon and stretched out a hide? You had to let it cure. Cure. You ever got a cut? It's got a cure. And so what was happening in day one and day two was the curing. On day three, he said, tell that old fox, I'm going to cast out devils. And for 2 days, I'll cure. And on the third day, I'm coming out perfected. Well, if they'd have just listened to him, he said in 3 days, I'm going to tear this place down. I'm going to rebuild it in three. If they could have just listened to him. My Lord. So on day two, we find this, Matthew 27:62. Now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that this deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. Now I don't want you to think I really believe that. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest those nasty disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, he is risen from the dead. And so the last error shall be worse than the first. They already knew they had messed up. But if they go steal his body away, those old disciples will say he's risen and we're going to be overthrown here. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as you can. Make it as sure and do everything you know to do to stop that from happening. So they went and made the sepulcher sure by sealing the stone that Joseph had rolled in front of the door and setting a watch. I don't know what they used, but I imagine they had some kind of a mortar that they mixed up. And in my mind, I don't think it was hot glue or
silicone. I think they mixed up some mortar and they took that stone. And I'm sure that stone fit pretty tight. Now listen, if you whittled out a hole in there and you got you a stone, I imagine that thing was pretty tight. And they come back and plaster, if you will, around the whole thing to make sure that it don't crack open. And them nasty old disciples come say, he's risen. We're going to stop. And they set a watch. Not only did they do that, they decided to stay and watch. At least through the third day. One more day won't hurt. And on the third day, amen, there was a little group of ladies that gets up early in the morning, earlier than turkey hunters get up. The first day of the week, and they head toward the sepulcher with, of all things, spices. Spices, sweet spices to anoint a dead man. Can you believe that? They're in such a hurry to get there that they forgot one thing. What was it, everybody? That there was a stone. They were in such a hurry to get there, not to see the resurrection, not to see if he come out of the grave, but believing he's still in there, they come to anoint him on the third day. So no one really believed his story. No wonder the writer said, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Mark 16 and 1. Praise the Lord. "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, who had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came to the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said, where's those other men at? Where's Peter and John and Matthew and all these brave men? And they said among themselves, wait a minute. Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the..." What were we thinking? How can we get in there? It's sealed. It's closed up with this great stone. But when they looked, hallelujah. Sometimes you just got to go anyway. Can you say amen? Sometimes you just got to do it anyway. Hallelujah. When we got turned down for the property over here, I said, I'm not done. I'll do something different. If I don't get that, I'll get something else. You can't give up, my brothers and sisters. You can't give up. "And when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very..." How in the world did this happen? This stone was so huge. But let me tell you, the stone that's in front of the grave was only needed to be rolled away. It's an opportunity for God to do something. And let me tell you, and when Lazarus died, what did they put in front of Lazarus' grave? A stone. And he told them, "You roll the stone away. You move the stone away." And I'm here to tell you, if you'll do the rolling, he'll do the rising. If you'll do the rolling, he'll do the rising. If you'll do your part, he'll do what you can't do. But if you want to leave a stone and close off the opportunity and say, "Well, there ain't no way," then go ahead. But the stone has got to be removed. Amen. And Matthew 27 and 54 records how it happened. Now imagine, you all know how the stone got rolled away, right? "And when the centurion and they which were with him watching Jesus," or watching over the tomb, "saw the earthquake..." This is not the first time the earth quaked. It is the second time the earth quaked. For when he died and said, "It is finished," the earth did quake. But now he's in the tomb and the earth quaked again, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying the same thing they said when it quaked the first time, "Truly this was the Son of God." That's what they said the first time. The stone was rolled away, now listen close, only because he drank the cup.
the cup and the stone. It was only because he was willing to drink the cup did the stone get rolled away. Had he not drank the cup, the stone would still be there today. And if we're not willing to drink the cup, he's not willing to, oh Lord, remove the stone. You have to be willing to drink what's in the cup and take on a little pain and a little suffering, for the Bible says all the righteous shall suffer persecution. I read that. Hallelujah. But the Lord knows how to deliver the righteous out of all of their troubles. But if you'll drink the cup, my brothers and sisters, he will roll the stone away. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's look at Mark 16 and 8. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. My Lord. And when Jesus was risen early in the first day of the week, he appeared first. Woo! He appeared first to a once devil-possessed woman. Tell that fox that I cast out devils. Tell that fox for 2 days I cure, and tell him on the third day I come out perfected. And the first one to see him was the lady he delivered of 7 devils. What a great way to come out of the box. What a great one to show first. Hallelujah. Show that devil, hallelujah, that I got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Woo, he shows himself first to Mary Magdalene, the one that he had cast out the 7 devils from. My Lord. Verse 9, and when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. None of y'all have that many devils this morning. The first one to get the good news, the gospel, was a once devil-possessed woman. The first one to tell the good news was once a devil. Oh, I thought he would have selected Peter or John. No, they weren't there. Were you there when he come up out of the grave? She was there. Why? Because she was so grateful. Woo! To be delivered of those 7 devils. Hallelujah, that she was going to be there. Now, did she believe that he was going to be resurrected? Obviously not. But she said, I'm going to go back. They believe this is the same Mary that anointed his feet that day at Simon's house. I'll close with this. God uses the most unlikely people to tell his glory. And you said, I'm nothing good. You're a good candidate to tell the story about Christ. Hallelujah. Mark 16 and 10. And she went and told them that had been with him, and they mourned and wept. She goes back and tells these other apostles, and they're mourning and weeping. Now, somehow, I don't believe they're mourning and weeping that he's dead. I believe they're mourning and weeping because they're fixing to be persecuted. And said, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. 3.5 years they were with him. They saw some miracles that seemed insignificant. Water turned to wine. But they also saw the boy get out of the coffin. They saw everything. And when he gets out of the grave and the devil, once devil-possessed woman, says he's risen, they don't believe her. After that, he appeared in another form unto 2 men. This was on the road to Emmaus, and they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, or the rest of them, neither believed they them. Boy, that's some really good disciples, I tell you. That's why I'm glad I wasn't there, because I probably would have been just like them. I have an easier time believing because I didn't see, I think, than being there and they don't believe. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11, now not to Judas, he's gone, unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them. My Lord.
upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. In another place he says, slow to believe, because they believed not them that had seen him after he was risen. Why didn't you believe Mary Magdalene? Why didn't you believe the other Mary? And this morning as I close, the stone was rolled away because he drank the cup. And you have stones too. Each one of them took a sip of the suffering. As they passed the cup around, they didn't know they were taking a little sip of suffering. But he said, if you don't suffer with me, you shall not rise with me. In one place, the writer said, if you don't suffer with him, you will not be part of the consolation or the comforting. You'll just suffer. Hallelujah. I'm glad I've got something called the Comforter. Hallelujah. The Comforter, hallelujah, helps me in my day of suffering. Amen. That when all men would speak evil of me and lie on me and do all these things, I don't have to worry about it because I've got the Comforter. But this morning, if you don't drink of that cup, you have no part of him. Hallelujah. Thank God that he drank the cup for us while you just took a sip of it. But today, whatever suffering you go through, and some may feel like they go through more than others, I have learned that suffering is what you make it. Let me say that again. I have learned that suffering is what you make of it and how you see it and how you perceive it. So this morning, Paul perceived it this way. I count it all joy. All the suffering he went through, he says, I count it all joy. Even the thorn in my side, he said, no, that's good for me. That's good for me. He saw it differently. And you and I need to see suffering as not as something painful to us mentally and physically, but as rejoicing in the Lord that he chose you for suffering. Hallelujah. And if he chose you for suffering, he also chooses you for the rising. Amen. Let's clap our hands to the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Take a quick break and we're going to come back for morning worship.